Hey, welcome along to The Pastor's Heart. Dominic Steele here, and it's great to have you with us. Hey, it'd be great if you could help us out. If you're listening to us on the iTunes, if you could rate us on the iTunes, perhaps write a review, that'd be terrific. If you're following us on YouTube, subscribe on YouTube, and do let your friends in ministry know about The Pastor's Heart. We would really appreciate your help in getting the word out about this. Now, one of the bits of feedback, one of the requests that's come in for you is for us to tackle the topic of the whole issue of organization and organizational hacks and how we can organize the church better. And so we've got with us the operations pastor.
Yes.
Is that what you call yourself, Dave?
Yeah.
Dave Moore.
Hi. Yeah, it's been one of those weird things. We've never had a good title for what I do. And so it's been kind of executive pastor, and they're kind of like, that's a bit pompous, you know. I'm thinking. So operations pastor is where we're kind of going with at the moment. Yeah.
Now tell us about Aligned Poetry and plumbing. And
yeah.
When people talk about that, what do you mean?
Yeah. So I think what it's trying to do is it's trying to describe a particular these two things that are at play in our churches all the time. That there's this poetry thing, this is a very human thing of wanting to speak to people and relate to people and love people, and we have this vibe that we want to create, and this culture and these values that we want to hold on to and express. And yet there is plumbing. We just need things to work in a certain way. We need to make sure there are systems in place and things work and information goes from these people to these people so that the poetry can happen. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have the plumbing, if you don't have the systems in place, then the poetry doesn't get very far. Yep. It doesn't get to the right people and it ends up hindering. Your poetry gets hindered because you don't have the plumbing in place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I suspect we've got quite a few poets watching us and listening to us who think, I just don't want to do plumbing.
That's right.
Now, what is it about your heart that's got you into plumbing?
Yeah, well, I think it is the poetry because at my heart, I'm a pastor. I love the Word of God, and if you could give me any option to do it at all, I would love to sit down with someone and just read the Bible with them.
Right.
That's my ideal. But I have to be careful. I don't do that because that's what I like. The reason I want to do that is because I love the kingdom.
Yeah.
I want Jesus' kingdom to grow. And so I don't just want me to sit down and read the Bible, people. I want as many people as possible to be opening the Bible. So if I'm convinced by that and the Bible is the poetry, it's the song that we want to be sung, then I want to facilitate that happening as much as I possibly can.
Yeah.
And so I looked at, not just me, as the staff team I'm on at a Bible church, we kind of went, what's the best way to facilitate as much ministry as possible? And one of the ways to do that is to make sure all the systems are in place. And so it's out of that desire for the kingdom to grow that makes me go, well, if I can do this and it facilitates more ministry happening, then that's the best thing to happen, even though it's a thing that I would not prefer to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the difference between what we're talking about here when we talk plumbing and what somebody might just call admin?
Yeah, I reckon there's one difference. So
I was going to think, because I think lots of pastors, I've got to do as little as possible admin and as much as possible poetry, and therefore the admin of the church is hopeless.
Yes, that's right. I suppose there's a conviction that goes, because I want to do as much ministry as I possibly can, word ministry, I want to do that poetry thing, because I want to do as much of that as I possibly can, and a proper recognition that it's hampered by not having good systems in place. I think one of the things that I've seen pastors do is go, I don't need systems. You know, all I do is this. And I'm going, no, you have a system. You just don't recognize that you've got a system. Everyone has
a system. It's a poor one.
Yeah, that's right. But you can have a look at ways to do things in such a way that you can increase the effectiveness and you're increasing the efficiency of what you're doing. That's the reason we train. We train people so they can do more ministry.
I mean, the way you guys play it out at Hunter Bible Church, I mean, I've got some headlines I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about strategy and finances and communication.
Sure. Okay.
Let's do strategy first. You're working with a lead pastor. Where, how does strategy from him and strategy from you and strategic thinking, how do those kind of things work together?
I think at this point, we haven't thought hard about how it works. Well, the way it works is in the relationship between us. So, so with Greg, he's really good at working out where do we want to go, what's the direction we want to go, what are the values that our church wants to have, and I'm particularly good at thinking, okay, what does that mean? What are the things we're going to need to have in place? And we worked out that it's not that we're trying to make up for each other's deficiencies. It's that we're trying to support each other. Uh-huh. And so we have this certain desire that we go, okay, as we think about strategy together, we want to keep helping each other do it, not do the job the other one isn't doing. So, but we'll have those discussions there. But we also will bring in, constantly trying to bring in advice from from others. And so there's very few decisions that are just made in a small room. Mm-hmm. There's lots of decisions that will go, this is what we're kind of thinking, trying to get people's advice, other staff advice on it. So that's kind of the strategy. And we try to do it as both as far out as we can. So what would we love church to be in 10 years? And then what does that mean for this year? What does the next 12 months
look
like?
How do you do that? How do you say, okay, when you've said, what do you want it to be in 10 years, do you then sort of map back every year from there?
Partly yes and partly no. So it's partly a from where we are, a realistic picture of where we are now and going, okay, what could it be in a year's time, but also what could it be in 10? And then it's also going, what would we love it to be in 10 and mapping back? So I think there's a bit of a doing both of those, if you know what I mean. Because you can have an unrealistic view of 10 years' time.
Yeah.
And you can also have a not crazy enough view of 10 years' time. So you, I think you need to have a little bit of, let's have a risk, let's have a big vision of what we'd like to do, but in the context of where things are now.
Right.
Yeah.
Finances.
Yeah.
What are some good things that you guys have brought into play on how to operate, how to organise, I mean, church finances?
Yeah. There's a whole... So one of the things we'll do is we'll want to talk about how church... don't want to talk about budgets. Budgets are something that you try to make as small as you possibly can.
Yeah.
We want to talk about what we're inviting people to invest in. Yeah, we're making these investments. Invest with us together. And this is what your investment brings. This is what church is trying to do with that. And so using that type of language, one of the things we've found with finance is this is something that we need to be really transparent, and we actually need good advice from the world, and we actually need to use the world's language. People have a right expectation that money is handled well. And so this is where you get the expert in church to help you describe and define and communicate finance in a professional way, because that's what people expect. They need to have confidence in us. And so part of the way we want to give them confidence is by showing that we've got good advice and we're managing this well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah. I know people have asked these questions. You, over the last couple of years, you've made the switch to zero.
Yes.
What's that brought you?
Yeah. So one of the things that's been good about zero, because it's online, and so we can share the administrative load of it. And so we have various people who do various jobs in zero. And so that means there's not one person who does everything, which was our old system.
Right.
And so sharing the load and sharing the responsibilities means we can move all our, we have so little paperwork now. Everything goes through zero. Mm-hmm. We scan stuff and upload it there.
Yep.
And then we have people who manage that and then have other people jump on and approve things. And
one of the things that surprised me when I was talking to you a day or so ago, for quite a large church, you have no one employed to do the bookkeeping.
Yes.
Now, that, I think quite a few people would be surprised at that.
Yeah.
Can you tell me how you've managed that?
Well, it's one of the things that we've gone, is this someone that we could get a volunteer to do? Sorry,
is
this
something? Do you have one volunteer doing it?
We have two volunteers who do various roles.
Right.
Oh, there's another third. So because you can split the roles up, we have one main guy.
Right.
One main guy who, and he spends about 1.5 days a week.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Retired or?
Yeah. He's a guy with, no, he isn't retired. No, he hasn't. He's just picked up a part-time job as well.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So one of the things we did, we looked at what we were doing, and we did have a retired guy before that. Who was doing it, but we went to certain people who were helping us in small ways, and we said to them, look, this is something that church needs, and it means this for the kingdom. If you can come and do this, this is the implications that it brings. You save church heaps of money, and you allow all this to happen. You can help us to do this work we're doing.
Right.
And I think it's one of the things that I think there are people in our churches who would really love to do administrative work for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And
they don't want to be the poets. They want to be the plumbers.
That's right. That's right. They love it. So there are people in our churches who, if you gave them a list, they're excited. Can I tick everything off this list? I would love to tick everything off this list. You know, great. And I think one of the things that we've recognized as pastors, we look at those jobs and we go, oh, that's the most annoying job. I could never get anyone else to do that job because it's so terrible.
Yeah.
When really there are people in churches who look at what we do, the leading Bible studies and preaching, that sort of thing, and they could go, I could never do that, but I'd love to do that list.
Yeah.
And so we've got to open ourselves up to go, actually, maybe there is someone who would like this, and not be sorry about offering them this opportunity.
Yeah.
But be excited about, hey, I reckon you might love this. I reckon this is something you'd really love doing.
Yeah.
And what we found is there are people go, I would love to. I would love to give up my week to do this for the kingdom.
So you have all your staff write their own expense claims things in Xero. Is that how you do it?
So what we've done is we've set up a little form that you fill out on your phone, and you put in your name, and then you take a photo of the receipt on your phone, and that automatically gets sent to into Xero, and so when the finance bookkeeper, he opens that little thing, it's got all the information on it, and he attaches that onto, we create a bill then that we then to pay that person.
Right.
And so that means that I'd say 70% of our expenses are from members within church who are buying things for church for their ministries, and that's how they get reimbursed
for it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Communication. What are some of the things, what are some of the systems that you've introduced to improve communication in the church?
It was something we're still working on. You know, it's all these things are things we're still working on.
Perfect,
that's right.
Open the bonnet for us.
Yeah. I think, so one of the things we've realised is that Sunday communication, Sunday ads just don't work. Well, you know.
You know, I've heard you say this. You've said, we were saying we basically don't do. What are the criteria to get an announcement up?
Yeah, so we have this criteria that goes, unless it's part of your, if the announcement is something that is core values to your church, type thing, if it's not core values.
So you don't announce the soccer club.
You don't announce the soccer team, you know, it's not core values to church. It's a great thing, and there might be other ways of communicating, but from out the front on Sunday, this is where you're welcoming people in, this is where you're defining, this is who we are as a church. You've got to be really, if you want to announce a soccer thing, you've got to be really clear why you're doing that type of thing. You might want to, you know. But it's got to be something urgent. That is, has to be something that people need to know about this now, not, oh, you know, maybe this is happening, that type of thing. And it's got to be for more than 50% of the people in the room.
Right.
But if it's for less than 50% of the people in the room, what you're saying is to most of you, you can switch off now.
Yeah.
And you're communicating something else. So in everything you communicate at church, the way you communicate actually communicates almost just as much.
Right.
So if you communicate something to a few people in the room, you're actually communicating to everyone in the room that you want them to switch off
for this session.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Align, empower your people to say no. What do you mean by that?
I think so. One of the things we want to when our staff and people want to advertise their things at church, one of the ways we think about it is we're empowering them to think about communication by saying no, we're not going to advertise that out the front. And what that does, it forces them to think about how else they're going to communicate. There has to be other ways they need to do this. They can't rely on the Sunday meeting to get their thing out.
Right. So what channels have you trained people to use for communication?
Yes, in principle, in training. What we've done is go, okay, we're going to send out a monthly email to everyone at church with all the information, with everything about what's coming up, all the dates, all the times, all the locations, and the hope being that church members, they go, oh, now when was that thing? I'll check my email. And so they've got a place that they know where they can go. And so we've been trying to work out how to be doing that well. And you might do that every month. You might do that every 2 weeks. There are churches who do it every week. We just haven't done the every week thing because it's a lot of work. And it's hard to do. But yeah. All right. Do you guys do a regular email?
Well, yeah. We do an email every week. My communications guy has taught me that essentially it can only have three paragraphs in. And it's got to have a heading for each paragraph. It'd be excellent if it had a photo for each paragraph, but it can really only have three things. And so we're trying to build the culture. And we've been doing this for a while, build the culture that you only have to open. If you can expect an email from Village to only be this short, it'll only take this much time, and therefore you'll be prepared to open it. That's the feel.
That's right.
Occasionally we'll put a little video announcement from me or one of the others up the top.
That's right.
You guys were talking about an idea that that I thought was really helpful, of a video in your community groups that gets played once a month. Can you tell us about that?
We have someone at church who's great at communications, and we talked to her about how can we do this better. And she said, you've got the best place to help communication happen is in your small groups, because people talk to each other. When you do an announcement on Sunday, it goes out there and no one discusses it, and then it just goes straight past them.
And when I heard you say that, I thought, that's very interesting, because if I put a video in the email, somebody may or may not watch it, but they're not going to talk to the others around it. And they can, whereas if they watch it at the beginning of a community group, they can then say, what do you think of that? What do you think of that? Or, hey, this is going to work like that.
Yeah, and that solidifies it. And it means you can actually discuss family things in your...
And celebrate some of the family things.
That's right.
That you might not be prepared to say from the front in church.
That's right.
What sort of things?
Well, yeah, so going back to the finance thing, we've moved as much as possible our finance announcements out of church on Sunday.
Right.
There's this perception in the world that church is all on about money, you know, sort of thing. And so we've pulled that out of there, and we've put it into our community groups video that we play.
Yeah.
And we've actually said the reason we're doing this finance announcement here is because it's family business.
Yeah.
You're part of the family. We want to keep the family business out of what happens on Sunday.
Yeah.
And so that's been helpful, and it means that that's one of the things that we've done there. But seeing you can celebrate family stuff, you can communicate hard family stuff.
Yeah. You can say, really, what have you done in terms of hard stuff?
I don't think we've had to yet, but we've recognised this is the place that we can. So if there was someone in a particular congregation, if you had a funeral at church or that type of thing, you could do that type of thing. If you have, I don't know now, I don't want to think all the worst case scenarios.
Right, but you've recognised that would give you a vehicle for internal communication.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like if finances were going really bad,
right,
you could say, look, guys, this is something really important.
We really need you to pull it, lean in here.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, website, social media.
Yes. I think one of the things we've found with this that I think I've seen lots of churches do well at this as well, that your website has to be designed for the non-church member.
Yeah.
It's
not news for the internal.
No.
It's public-facing. And that's recognizing right. that this is going to be, for most people, their first point of
That's
contact
right.
with your church.
That's right. If you've got someone who's moving into your area and they are a Christian, they are going to find you online. Even though they're Christians, they might have heard about you from other people, but even if they have, they're still going to search for you online first.
Yeah.
They're not going to find out from their friends who mentioned your church where it is.
Yeah.
They're going to search for it online. So your non-members are going to search for it there. If there are any non-Christians and their friends invite them, if I invite a non-Christian, hey, why don't you come to church? They're going to go home and search for it online first.
Yeah.
And so the first point of contact you have with anyone who's new at your church is before you meet them, because they have looked at your website first. And so that's just one of the things that we need to think really clear about. What are we communicating? What vibe are we communicating?
Yeah. And I think actually to just Google your church name and see what happens.
Yeah.
One of the really big shoot yourself in the foot things that I see churches do again and again is you Google church in wherever and it comes up the name of the diocesan property trust.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Because they're the actual legal owner of the name of the land, where somebody's actually got to go in and change the name and say, I own this property and the name of my property is this, not property trust of this particular denomination.
That's right. Yeah. And this is where I think in our churches, as pastors, we can hear this and go, I have to be doing this.
Yeah.
And no, like this is something you find someone and you go, can you help us with this?
What about kind of other web resource team meeting sort of things that you've done to kind of just make your team function better?
I suppose one of the key ones would be a database. So I'm assuming lots of churches use a
database. Yep.
Yeah. Do you mean apart from that?
Well, let's do database first and then we'll come to other tools. Hmm. Yeah. Database, what do you guys do?
So we use Elvanto. We've been using it for a while, maybe 5-6 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been really good. We use a lot of the forms that Elvanto provides for registration for events and that type of thing. I think one of the key things with Elvanto and any database is that convincing your staff and your key leaders that this is the tool they use for loving people, and so not to have other spreadsheets.
Right.
Yeah. So we have a little joke on our staff team that if you have a spreadsheet with names in it, then we'll fire you. It's not that bad, really, but we want to help people go, this is an important tool that we share people's resources and share people's names as a resource, and we share the information about them because we all want to love them. And so you can't have your own list because that's not your church. This is your church here.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, we do that.
How do you manage the whole privacy policy type stuff?
We're a large church and we've got lots of volunteers who use the database for them ministries.
Yep.
And so we get our members to, if they're going to use the database, to sign a database access policy every year that goes through. This is how I'm supposed to use the database. This is my code of conduct for how it should be used and that type of thing. So that they are clear on that. And then we train them in how to use it. And we've got different permissions for different roles and that type of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you guys have been using Elvanto?
We have been using Elvanto. We've gone a little cold on it.
Yeah.
We've been pretty disappointed in, I mean, at one level it was great, you know, but it doesn't seem to have caught up and kept up. And so we're using a hack to do check-ins for people.
Yeah.
So when people turn up at church, they type their name into it's not an iPad, but it's one of the Android kind of things. And then it prints out a name tag.
Yep.
And the Elvanto stuff for that is just hopeless.
Yeah. All right. Yep.
So we've had to get some people from Openbox to help us with.
Yeah. That. Okay.
We've also found that, if you know the name, if everyone checks in, it prints out a name tag and people have adopted to that.
Correct.
And it's been great. Mm. And it's actually given us exact data for the last few years on who's at every single thing we run, whether it's a church meeting, a scripture class, a community group, whatever.
Mm.
So we actually know exactly what's going on. And then the reporting stuff out of Elvanto has actually been pretty hopeless, in terms of trying to to work out trends. And so we've set up some APIs to give us better information, but it actually really should be
part of
the system.
Yeah, that's right. So we've done something similar. So we pre-print all our kids labels,
right?
And that's how we do that. And so we've had to make a little program
to do that. Yeah.
So that they're just all there, and then we pull a snapshot of all our numbers each week from our Vanto,
right?
And we put in a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
You know, so not names, but we put this is the numbers for every category of people and every stage we're up to, and so now we've got this just spreadsheet of all these numbers across time that we have to pull out every week. And if we don't pull it out 1 week from our Vanto, then we miss that week. We don't have numbers for that week because you can't go back and work out what it was.
Yeah.
But with all that, we've still gone. This does so much of what we need to do.
That's right. And so we're still using it, but we're kind of thinking, is there something better around that we can find? Other tools that you use?
Yeah, I think we've actually tried to reduce the amount of tools that we're dependent on.
Mm-hmm.
And so we use Google Suite and Google Docs and that type of thing.
And an advantage, I mean, just for saying to our team, we want everyone to store everything on Google Drive because it actually has taught our team that the information and the things I write and the things I prepare doesn't belong to me, but it's the ministry's, and it's to be there for my successor.
Yeah.
That's been quite an important psychological shift, particularly for our ministry trainees.
It's
just not all mine and my laptop and my thing.
Yeah.
And then we have to reinvent everything from scratch next time.
That's right. So helping people go, the reason I'm doing it this way is because I love the church, not just for my sake.
Yeah.
I've got this other person's centeredness. Yeah. So that's kind of the way, that's kind of the tools we use. One of the other things we've done to our staff is just gone, just use this font.
Oh, okay. Tell me about that.
What we're trying to do is go, I don't want our staff stressing and spending time choosing fonts. That's not their job.
Yeah.
Because I want them focused on poetry. And so this is plumbing that we're providing, going, here's a font that you can use and that's it. Please don't use anything
else. Yeah.
And so that means that it just takes one of the questions out of their, so they don't have to think about that thing. They can focus on this.
Right.
Yeah. So that's been one of the things. Over time, we've gone, okay, now you have two fonts. You can use one of these two. They've been very good.
Right.
Yeah.
But you don't use a meeting planning software or?
No.
I'm not meaning church meeting. I'm meaning how you organise your staff team, how you organise your one-on-one meetings, that kind of thing.
No, we have a calendar that we, like a Google calendar that we all share.
Yeah.
And so that helps church events. We know when they're on,
right?
And so you can see when there's a church event there. Well, if I want to run something that night, then in a room, then I've got to go and speak to that person who's already in there.
Right.
So we run a priority system. That
right. You and I were talking yesterday with Ben from Trinity Church, Adelaide, and he was saying that they're using Slack for even to the level of the kids' leaders at the different campuses talking to the other kids' leaders at the different campuses.
Yeah.
And so they're able to kind of exchange ideas between them. And I thought, that's an interesting... We do Asana. Do you know...
Yeah, I know Asana, yeah.
You don't do anything like that?
No, like we've got... we've been looking at whether we need to do that type of thing. I think one of the things we've found is that for our circumstance... It's probably at this stage, it's probably still easy enough to get those people in a room and go, okay, this is what's important. And I think we do a good job of delegating responsibility out. And so they're making decisions on their own quite a lot, not dependent on other things. There's a limit to that we're feeling. So I think we might be moving in that direction.
I feel like my weakness is I give somebody a job to do. And then I've forgotten that. I can't remember that I gave it to them on this date.
Mm.
And did I give it to them? And then 3 weeks later, I'm annoyed that it's not been done, or I feel like I've got to email them.
Yeah.
And so what I've got for each of the different people on my team is I've got Dave-Dominic as a group in Asana. And if I ever communicate anything to you, I just, on the little app on my phone, I write down, Dave, can you this, you know, and like, I mean, in a real conversation with you, but I know that I'll forget it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So and so what you're trying to do is express, you're trying to hold something in some system, which is an expression of this.
Yeah.
It goes, because we've had this conversation, let's have it expressed, type thing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think I might need to kind
and
of
then,
help out.
And then during the week, if I have an idea about something, I think, oh, I want to bring that up in staff meeting or whatever. Like I had an idea last week about staff bringing Bibles to church.
Right.
I mean, lots of people use their apps. Mm. There are some Bibles at church. But I actually think it'd be really good. I mean, it used to be the case that everybody brought their Bible to church, and it used to be the case that all our staff brought their Bibles to church. So I'd like to have a discussion in our staff meeting on that topic. So.
Yeah.
I've had that thought bubble.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I type it into Asana, into the little category, Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, okay.
And so we come to Tuesday afternoon, and there's a list of things, including that little thought bubble.
Yeah, and they're all there. Yeah. I think what I've seen our staff do is have a similar thing, and they'll use various tools, so like a Google Doc or a list that's shared. So for myself and Greg, we've got a Google Keep list, and we both
Google
add
Keep list.
Yeah,
what's a Keep list?
It's basically notes.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very simple thing, and so we just add things on it, and then when we go to meet, we both look at it and go,
okay,
what's
here
the priority
are the
here?
That we've put on our thing for our weekly
thing.
Conversation.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it's the same exercise. It's just a different tool to get.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. And I just hadn't thought of it as a tool before, but yeah, I suppose it is. Yeah. And so that's the thing, is working out. I think one of the things from operations, because I want the kin to keep growing, I want to keep going. What tools are we using? How do we interchange? How do we keep? Because one of the things that happens is you end up using the tool you've been using for ages.
Yeah.
And it was at one point helpful for growth, but over time, as you grow, it ceases being helpful for growth. And so you have to be able to change your systems, willing to change your systems. And this is one of the things I think I want to encourage pastors as they recruit admin people on to help do the operations, that type of thing. Pastors inviting admin people to change things and saying, I want you to tell me if it's not working.
And where our system's wrong.
Yeah, don't just do what I've told you to do. If we're still doing the same thing in a year's time, we're probably not doing the right thing. Part of your job is not just to get the job done, but to help us, help me think about why we're doing it. And so I think it's a really helpful thing, because lots of people who end up in operations and admin, that type of thing, they like responsibility and they just do what they're told to do because they think that's what they've got to do. When really, the pastor thinks that they're doing the very best thing and that they would raise it if there was a problem, but the person doing it is going, no, I'm doing what they want me to do, so I shouldn't change it. And so you get the situation where neither of them are happy with how things should be, but both of them think the other one wants them to be doing it.
Yeah.
And so opening that discussion up and going, do you think we're doing it the best way? Do you think it's the most helpful way?
Yeah.
And inviting the operations person to speak into that.
Dave, thanks very much for talking to us.
No worries. Thank you.
Dave Moore has been my guest from Hunter Bible Church. You've been with us on The Pastor's Heart, and we'll look forward to catching you next week. Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover The Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.